And this is where I get very, very frustrated, and this is where I push back, because I can't make exceptions for everybody. I can't be the hero to everyone. It's unfair to the patients that are here, it's unfair to my team, and it's unfair to myself.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder. Pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Good, whatever the time of day it is, it's morning here. Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. A lot of these episodes come to me based off just like an immediate reaction in my practice, and I'm like, I gotta go record and talk about this. And I think this episode may be one of the core fundamental things that dentists need to hear, because we have to carry a lot of stress and it's just not fair when I'm going to talk about. So let me set the stage with the example. Patient calls in, patient's upset, front tooth crown has come off, and they've got to get in at 7:30. So that sets the stage of the thing. Now, what I want to step back to is that we have got to find a way. And we're just going to jump right into this. I hope you're ready. We've got to find a way to be able to be empathetic to people without taking responsibility or fault for their problems. Personally, I think in my practice, and a lot of times I get a bad rap, or like if you just hear me off the cuff, I'll get a bad rap because it'll sound like I don't care. And it's the complete opposite. Like I'm kind of a very tenderhearted person. Like I get my feelings hurt if I upset other people's feelings or if they feel like I'm doing something. That's just the reality of the situation. But what I'm getting more and more adamant on is that I've got to find a way to be able to separate my empathy for someone and also the reality of that I run a business, that we have a busy day, that there are other patients, that are other people that are impacted by people's problems. And so what I think we've got to do a better job of is we've got in a non-emotional state, we've got to set the stage for how many emergencies and limiteds we're going to see. And I've got to prioritize those blocks or those spaces, because if they don't, if we book ourselves to 100% and then this guy calls in with a broken off front tooth or a crown that's off on a front tooth and they've got a business meeting, I do think that it's our responsibility or our job to be consumer-driven to get this person in within a reasonable amount of time. In that situation, I think a reasonable amount of time is 24 hours. I'm less concerned about the time, more that you as the people in the practice, the doctors in the practice, that you acknowledge the need to agree on a time and then we stick to the time. If it's 48 hours, great. If it's 24 hours, great. If it's that couple hours, whatever that is. If it's that I want them, they can come immediately, but they have to understand they're going to wait till there's an availability, I'm okay with that. I just think there has to be an agreed upon time in a non-emotional setting that we're going to identify rules and then follow the rules. So this gets back to, again, like this idea of empathy without fault. And that's, I think, the other challenge that we as dentists do is we take too much responsibility for the problems and the actions that patients walk into the room with. And then we want to take responsibility if the crown breaks. Well, maybe I didn't reduce enough, or, you know, like, and it's like, this is the dadgum oral cavity. This is the mouth. Like, I don't know what they go out and do. They chew, they grind, they function, they open beer bottles. Like, I don't know what they do with their teeth. And so I can't warranty dental work or feel bad about replacing dental work or fixing dental work or not beat myself up when shit goes bad. I can be unbelievably empathetic to the situation, but I can't take on that mentality. And I struggle with this with my team, because they have great people, they have big hearts. And so if someone comes in and they have that issue, like, that's problematic. And it kills me, because it's not fair to them. It's not fair to the other patients that are in the practice. And so we've got to find a way to, again, be empathetic without taking ownership of or responsibility of the fault that's happening. Now, second to this, outside of the rules or the timelines of which we need to have things, I've got to also establish the verbiage with my team so that they can have these conversations. And I think that's something that we often don't do, is we may set the rules, but then we don't follow up with the team members to kind of work through and role play what that looks like. The second challenge we have is when patients then now demand a time outside of the times that we have. And that goes back to, again, setting rules in a non-emotional setting. I believe that it's our job to give patients options to choose from, meaning Mrs. Jones, and maybe there's not an option. Today, to fix that tooth, the only availability we have is at 11:30. I know that that may not be ideal for you. I know you said you prefer a 7:30 time, but 11:30 is what we got. All our other rest of our team is booked with patients, with people, humans, that they have their problems too, outside of those times. If that doesn't work for you, I can look at tomorrow and see what availability we have tomorrow to get you in for this emergency. Because if you do that, if you're empathetic and you give people an option, it's then them choosing that it's not as big a deal, whatever it is going on, that it has happened. And most of these situations, again, this kind of gets back into this episode that I did a while ago about presenting comprehensive dentistry, is that if we're presenting comprehensive dentistry and we're showing them what all is going on and they're choosing not to move forward with it because of whatever reason, then we should not feel as bad in that regard. So I'll give you this guy this morning. So this guy calls in, front tooth's off, and this initiated a chain of events where I got frustrated, in that he was scheduled in a post-op column, so like an assistant-driven column. And at morning huddle, it was discussed that Celeste was going to see this patient because it was a patient that we had seen and treated. And Celeste is the assistant I currently work with, so we like to keep continuity, so that she was going to see the patient. Well, I had a problem with that because that's not Celeste's column. And I'm a believer that you've got to have columns and they have to have people that go in those columns. You can't have columns and then expect it to be we'll just figure it out who's going where. That's how you end up with chaos, running behind, working through lunch, et cetera. So if I have a column, I have to have a provider who runs that column. Now, that provider can be an assistant, a hygienist, whatever, but I need to know that there is someone responsible for that column. So my problem was Celeste is in another column and this patient's booked in another column. So I bring up, I said, well, who's in charge of that column and why are they seeing them? And then the follow-up response was, Ashley's in charge of that column. And I said, why isn't Ashley doing it? And they said, well, Ashley hasn't done a lot of that procedure. She hasn't resubmitted many crowns or been a part of that. Your dad also has a surgery at that time. So she's going to be with him as like the second assistant for the surgery. And I said, well, why is the column even open then if he needs both assistants? So now you start to see where this gets into, like, I just start losing it a little bit of the dilemmas. Is, okay, wait a second. You can't have a column without a provider, but you're telling me that this does have a provider. They can't do the dentistry or they can't support it. They also aren't even in there because they're at another problem. So problem number one is we can't put dentistry in a column where a provider or a supporter can't do it. Number two is we can't have a column open where a provider is supposed to be in two places at one time. That doesn't work. Like, that's physically impossible, people. You can't be in two places at one time. That's the way the world works. So that column, in my opinion, if both of those people are going to be tied up with my dad and his column, that column should be closed. So then it comes back to, okay, well, if really the person should be in my column with Celeste, because we did the dentistry, we'd like to keep continuity of care in that regard, and then they should be scheduled in that column. Problem is there's a patient that overlaps with that time slot. So then I said, well, why are we doing that? And then the response was, well, we can't put them there because there's already a patient there. So I said, so Celeste has to be in two places at once. And we have a rule in our office that's a very strict rule, and that I may blow some of your minds, but it's one of the best things you can do, is that no appointment is less than an hour. So Celeste scheduled this patient, which would be another problem, if I keep going down the problems here, at 8:00. Yep. We start at 7:30, so it left a 30-minute gap from 7:30 to 8, which is impossible because you can't have, this means there's nothing can go there. And so now you got this patient coming in at 7:30. We got a patient at 8. I don't believe in 30-minute appointments. And even if it can happen, because let's say that, okay, well, then somebody be like, well, you can get a resubmit in 30 minutes. You're exactly right. We could go in there, we could address the situation, like resubmit the crown, and then we could go see the other patient. Guess what doesn't happen? Notes don't get written. Room doesn't get cleaned up and turned over. Nothing is really less than an hour. That's just the rule. That's the rule. And it builds Swiss cheese in your schedule, which you all need anyways. So recapping the issues, and obviously, hopefully I'm not, you could see where I get, what's the word I like to use? Excited, passionate. I'm passionate about this. Problem number one, We scheduled a patient in a column where the provider, in this case, a supporting team member is the provider, doesn't or isn't familiar with the procedure. Problem number two, that person's also tied up at another appointment in another column. They can't be two places at once. Therefore, problem number three, therefore that column should be closed during that time. We shouldn't have availability to put people there because if you have availability on your schedule, it's open, your team will schedule stuff there. We train them to do that. Problem number four, that means the patient should be scheduled on Celeste's schedule, which they can't be because there's another patient there. Problem number five, they can't be there because Celeste scheduled a patient on a non-hour rotation, leaving an awkward 30-minute block. So now the only availability for this patient, or the availability that should have been given, would be any time post 10:30. Because we have this patient that we're seeing that we just saw from 8 to 9:30. So from 9:30 on, we've got basically all day availability, by the way, because I'm not going to be here, for Celeste to see this patient, have another doctor check the occlusion or whatever, or put it on. Then what's the response I get? Will the patient get covered that time? And this is where I get very, very frustrated, and this is where I push back, because I can't make exceptions for everybody. I can't be the hero to everyone. It's unfair to the patients that are here. It's unfair to my team, and it's unfair to myself. I get that everybody in this world has problems, issues, etc. But like, I gotta have some level of rules, and I gotta be able to sleep at night. And so my problem, my pushback was, well, the patient can only come at 7:30. We can only see them at these times. We can't be the one that takes ownership or fault. And that's what patients want to do, by the way. No offense, patients. But when you have this is not patient, this is human nature. When we have a problem or something doesn't work, our natural instinct is for all of us to point fingers. To say, oh, they didn't do the crown right. They didn't do this. Yada, yada, yada. Yada, yada, yada. Well, how about this? This patient, for example, they only occlude from basically 6 to 11. They only have their anterior teeth. They can't afford the bone grafting and things necessary to do implants or anything on the bottom. They try to partial. They don't wear a partial. So this patient has no posterior occlusion, and they're hitting on just a couple teeth with short clinical crown height. And so like the challenge is that it's going to be difficult to maintain a restoration over a long period of time in that person. And so the person knows about this. They're worried about it. I cannot take on every patient's financial, whatever got them there, all their problems, and then bend my world, my day, my thing, when I'm giving them options to meet them where they're at. And I don't think, I hope you don't think I'm an asshole for this, because I just have to have boundaries. We talk a lot about boundaries in therapy. That'll be an episode for another day. But like, you got to have boundaries. Yeah. So what a small scenario. And I honestly, if I'm being honest, I would have handled it differently. I got a little too passionate, as you can tell. And not that I was mean to anybody by any means, but I just, sometimes passion comes across as like dominant or, and Aubrey got frustrated with me because she's doing the best she can. She's not perfect. She's who kind of runs our office. And she felt like she was doing the most. And I was like, how do you not, this has got to be a black and white thing. And she gets it. But I think my initial passionate response then becomes like overwhelming. And that's when like our team members typically close up. So I think that's the learning experience for myself is, okay, well, what could I have done better? Now, what I think I did really well is that I think one of the reasons we're very successful is that I think that requires leadership. Leadership to address in the moment and deal with something that's not meant to be the way it's supposed to be. That if I let that slide, which is what 99% of us do, by the way, we're just like, that's not ideal, but we'll work through it. We'll figure it out. You never fix the problems. You never actually make progress and move forward. And they just circle. They just circle. They just circle. Because my whole saying in my team is always, I never care about the instance. I always care about the future scenarios. And this is one of those. There will be other crowns that come off, other sutures that come out, other, like all the different things that you could think of that set up emergencies limited. And I got to find a way to not be responsible to all those. Yet, I've got to say it and be kind and be empathetic and meet the patients where they're at. Because at the end of the day, if you're kind and empathetic to the people, you can still be firm. And then, in my opinion, you should be happy and be able to sleep at night and say, hey, our office and our culture upholds fundamentals of the way that we want to treat other people. So I hope this was helpful. If you've got questions about it, push back. This was good. If you like this, let me know. I like that too. I'd like to know that we do something well here. Hey, I'm trying to get my reviews up on iTunes. I hadn't recorded for a while. We're coming back hard. Hopefully you've loved the revamp. But if you haven't, or if you don't mind, please go over to iTunes and wherever else you can rate podcasts. Hope you have some 5 stars. Tell people you love it. Share it with your friends. Trying to grow it all. And work smarter, not harder. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.